How bad have you got to be? What sort of a con man do you have to be before Australia's National Anti-Corruption Commission will lift a finger to investigate you? David Pocock and Jackie Lambie, the senators, brought an amendment to lift the veil of secrecy over the NAC, or the SNAC as we like to call it, the secret National Anti-Corruption Commission. So they brought an amendment because secrecy does not help fight corruption. And it was voted down by the LibLab coalition this very week. That's how you fight corruption, apparently, by keeping it all a secret. Now, we predicted that the NAC would fail from the start a couple of years ago due to the secrecy, due to the exceptional circumstances clause. They won't do anything to make it public knowledge unless there's exceptional circumstances. And of course, that can be challenged in the High Court. So NAC is a scam, unfortunately, and it all came truly into focus this week. It's more of a ruse, really, to get people. It's designed via the secrecy to get people to think that something's being done about federal political corruption, when in fact, bugger all is being done. There's nothing on sports rorts yet, nothing on car park rorts or any of the community rorts under the coalition, the slather of rorts over those 9 years, nothing on that. There's nothing on the pork barreling. There's nothing on robo-debt, perhaps the biggest scandal of the generation where people killed themselves. There's nothing on Paladin yet, and wait till we get to that. That is an absolute ripper, Paladin. Nothing on anything from the NAC. Yes, there were other scams this week. The nuclear waste dump sites were announced for Port Adelaide and Frio over in Perth. There we go. Lucky Frio, lucky Port Adelaide. They get to dump America and the UK's nuclear submarine waste. How lovely for them. No community consultation. Have a nuclear waste dump. Imagine being the real estate agent trying to flog the property in Port Adelaide. Imagine being the real estate agent trying to flog houses next to a nuclear waste dump or anywhere nearby. There were plenty of scams this week. The Israeli government broadcaster Sky News Australia labelled Benjamin Netanyahu the Winston Churchill of our times. Labour defector Fatima Pyman started her Australia's Voice party with no infrastructure, with no party, in fact, but she started it anyway, the Labour defector, much to Labour's chagrin and, of course, to News Corp's extreme chagrin. How dare she, a Muslim and a woman? Jason Clare kept the quiet bit slip out loud, and Qantas got fined pocket fluff for its fake flights fraud. $100 million, nothing for Qantas shareholders, and no prosecutions of any executives, of course. Those prosecutions would mean that they wouldn't do it again. And then we have the New South Wales Premier, Chris Pokey's Mins, or is it Pokey Mins? I think probably Pokey Mins sounds better. Here was Chris claiming it's too costly to police protesters anymore. These damn protesters have been exercising their right to freedom of speech and assembly for more than a year now, week in, week out, rain, hail or shine. Peaceful protests, flying a few flags, which cause a bit of unrest. But the cost, of course, of policing this was too much, Chris said. Wouldn't you think that governments would try to work out why people were protesting in the first place and address the root causes, not people having their say. Not Chris Mins, not Christopher Mins. Chris Pokey Mins must want people to keep on laundering their money through New South Wales clubs because, of course, the cashless gaming card, we wouldn't want that. Too surveilly, too much monitoring going on. The clubs don't like cashless gaming cards. So that doesn't look like it's going to happen under the reign of Chris Pokey Mins. Chris said when the Labour caucus got all up in arms saying this is wrong to ban protests, Chris was forced to announce that he had not lost control of his party. It was all about social cohesion, he said. Our priority, to quote Chris, our priority was peace and security and social cohesion. The vast majority of my parliamentary party are completely behind that sentiment. That's how you get social cohesion. Telling people to shut up. Now, if the war in the Middle East does escalate, as Rex Patrick, our correspondent, wrote an analysis about this week on the website, bombing Iran means higher oil prices. That means higher gas prices because the price of gas, of course, is tied to the price of oil. And it means higher electricity prices as well, because electricity prices are determined by the gas price during peak times. So that is not good for the cost of living. But as the economist Saul Eslake pointed out, there is a silver lining for the government. The cost of living might be hurting ordinary Australians, but if there was inflation from this oil and gas prices, then, as there was a few years ago with Ukraine, just went through the roof. Huge, stellar profits for all the foreign multinational gas companies operating in Australia, and record electricity prices for ordinary Australians. If this happens again, if inflation takes off, as Saul said, the silver lining is that it's good for the budget, because inflation is good for the budget, shrinks the debt a bit. And of course, Jim Chalmers has got bragging rights to two budget surpluses on the trot after 9 years of coalition where they didn't manage quite to balance the budget. They had deficit after deficit. The bragging rights on the maintaining of the national accounts, economic management claims, superior economic management claims at stake here. And if inflation takes off again, thanks to high oil prices, that is good for Jim Chalmers, the Treasurer, of course, because it means that he'll be able to predict another budget surplus going into the next federal election. That is a silver lining. But really, so with the economy as usual, as in many other things, it's two steps forward, one and three quarters steps back. But how good is the NAC at not being an anti-corruption watchdog? How good is the NAC? There's a mob called Paladin, one of the great scandals of the previous government. Paladin was a tiny company with some very interesting links. And this happened under Peter Dutton's reign as Home Affairs Minister. This mob called Paladin suddenly bobs up, jagging a $500 million contract with the government to manage the detention centre on Manus Island. $500 million. So as it turns out, this company, Paladin, the head office was a beach shack on Kangaroo Island, a beach shack, which jagged this $500 million contract. And of course, it didn't go to tender. They didn't say who, advertise it and say who wants to bid for this contract. It was a multinational that had the gig before. Now it's a beach shack. It was what they call a limited tender. And it was extremely limited. It was the beach shack tender. $500 million to the beach shack. And as it turns out, a good analysis by the Fin Review showed that the contract pricing for this Manus Island detention centre gig was worth about $1,600 per detainee, per asylum seeker. The actual cost should have been, according to the Fin, according to their experts that they consulted, was $100 per detainee, because the people, the detainees on Manus Island, do their own cooking and do their own washing, and the guards only cost $2 an hour. $2 an hour. So it should have been $100 per detainee, but it was $1,600, more than $500 million all up. What a stroke of luck for the limited tenderer. What a stroke of luck. What great fortune. They must have really presented that pitch well. Must have had some good, what do they call those slides? PowerPoint presentations going on there. Now, of course, Peter said that he had nothing to do with it. He was the Minister of Time of Home Affairs. But of course, with blithe obliviousness to the principle of ministerial responsibility, chain of command, Peter said, and these were his words, "I don't have anything to do with procurement." And then there was his department secretary, good old Mike Pezzullo, who just refuses to go away. Mike said, the deputy secretary of Home Affairs, said it was all ridgy-didge, nothing to see here. Paladin's performance, he said, was okay under the contract. It had want to be for $1,600 per day, per detainee, $500 million. You'd want to be doing some good work for that. In any case, as Mike said, they had KPMG do an independent experts report, and KPMG found nothing to see here either. Of course, naturalement, of course, because the Big Four, that's what they're there for, to do independent experts reports and come up with a finding of precisely what they were commissioned to say. Nothing to see here. And that is what has happened, obviously, in this case. So scam of the week goes to the NAC, or the SNAC, or the NCC, the National Corruption Commission, because now they're investigating their own corruption in not investigating the robo-debt scandal. Doesn't seem that they can investigate much at all. And certainly if they did, it would still be a secret. And so that's a flop. Knack is a flop. And Knack, scam of the week. Come on down. Congratulations to the government for the Knack. What a ripper. There'll be nothing to see here, presumably for many years to come.